The Swamigan Bay Area Fishing Report starts now.
Good morning, top of the morning to you. It's 5 minutes past 6 o'clock. It's Real Rock G96. Trevor Ray here with you. I'm here till 10 o'clock. Joining me now, as he does every Tuesday, for the Swamigan Bay Fishing Report, we have Scott Breading. Good morning, Scott. How are you today?
Good morning, Trevor. What a beautiful morning in northern Wisconsin. I tell you, this weather is getting a lot more stable, and you know, it's just been a great week. 4th of July is behind us. Got out doing a little fishing on the bay and out in a big lake, and it's been kind of successful for a few trips, but one trip that was kind of a flop, but we still had a lot of fun. It was a beautiful day yesterday on the water. Not many fish, but we still had a great day on the water. But, you know, it's just, you know, talking about fishing and guys that, guys and girls that have been out there, it's just been a good week. Starting to get some bug hatches, though. So it's competition with that live bait. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for the next couple weeks. Biting flies yesterday, too. Ankle biters. It was... had to put a little bug spray on. A little bug spray.
Tis the season.
And here we got Jason Ronning in the studio with us this morning. We got all kinds of titles for Jason today. We got professional fisherman, amateur professional fisherman. Yeah. Flower shop owner, race car driver. Yeah. Yesterday, Jason and I took out a few of the guys that are coming up racing, and they're going to be on the show later on today, right?
I should have them. They're going to be in studio, so whatever you guys did with them yesterday, as soon as they're able to get up and out of bed, they're going to be coming in here. They'll be over on our sister station Z93 for a little bit, so we'll have them here in studio here, hopefully mid-morning.
Yeah, we had a good time with them. We took them out for a little boat ride and a little dragging baits. It was a tough day. We didn't get out till about 1:30 in the afternoon. East wind, little chop out there. It wasn't too bad, but we dragged baits for about 3 hours. Bright sunny afternoon, but it's been a long time since I've been out there and didn't have a trip and didn't have a fish on. And we were in the same area last Tuesday. Went out there in the morning in the fog. I left after the radio show and left Ashland, went out with radar, and went around the tip of Long Island, never saw the tip of Long Island, never saw another boat visually, but saw them on the radar, and got out to the area where we were fishing, the old Buoy 14 area, and could see about 6 or 7 other boats on radar, and put lines down, and we had fish on right away out there, and we did fill up out there. We ended up with quite a few fish, had to throw back a few because we couldn't catch small enough fish to catch in our slot size, and the crew on the boat, we had kind of a hoot out there, and one of the guys kept knocking fish off with the net, but we'll have to give him a bad time about that, but it was a good trip. We caught a bunch of lake trout and even a coho salmon for bonus fish. So we had a great day. But it was foggy first thing out there, and once that lifted, it was just dead calm all day. Last week, no bugs out there. But yesterday afternoon, a few biting flies. As the afternoon went on, they got a little more zealous and got their fangs out, and so we had to put a little bug spray on. But talking to people that have been going inland, they've been catching quite a few crappie. The walleye bite has been real good inland. Jason, you've been now doing a few tournaments. Two tournaments you've been since you were on the show last time. You fished two tournaments.
Yep. We fished Mississippi River up on pools 3 and 4. Did pretty well down there. It was a way different type of fishing down there with the current, and trying to deal with that never being there before, it was very interesting to figure out. It was.
But you ended up doing, what did you take?
We took 11th.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's for us, that's pretty good. You're going against the best of the best. And
out of 100 boats, right. Taking 11th, that's pretty darn good for a small town boy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the bug hatch got us on Leech Lake this weekend. It was tough to fish that lake.
Yeah, but you started out pretty good.
We started out really well. You know, we put up fish in the first day, the second day, and the third day we just couldn't find them. There was no. It's a real wind driven lake, they say. So you got to fish it, you know, where the wind blows to, and the bait fish get pushed up into the shorelines, and we just had a hard time finding them. When we did, it was too late, and it was fun, though.
They say Leech Lake's a lot like fishing Shawamigan Bay, though.
Probably.
They're fishing it a lot with crawler harnesses. They're fishing it a lot with jigs. How are they fishing it?
You know, that's a very interesting thing, because there was 100 boats in this tournament, and of them, 50 or 60 of them boats are pros that do it. You know, that's their job. They're out there, you know, making a living doing it, and we pop in 2 days before and try to compete with them. And we hooked up with another couple of guys from the Ashland area, I guess, like Drummond area, with Andy Gustafson and Kyle Williamson. And it's just amazing when we pull in at the end of the day and talk to them on what they did compared to what we did. A lot of it's the same, but a lot of it's completely different mindset. So it's nice to have someone else
notes.
Yeah, and you know, try, you know, see their thinking on it. And you know, there's a lot of times we'd be trolling and be like, what's on the graph? It's a bug hatch, you know. All of a sudden there's bugs everywhere, but like you said, it's hard to compete with that. You're dragging by baits when they got a full belly already. So
yeah, and that's what's happening out here. You know, we're starting to see that. So you know, guys are a little bit more frustrated, so you're gonna have to start presenting different color baits, changing it up, moving different speeds, and fortunately, you almost got to hit them on the nose sometimes.
Yeah, that was it. Even on the graphs, you know, the electronics are so good now on these boats that you can almost spoon feed them the baits, and you're literally bouncing them off their heads, and they're now biting it.
They got to be hungry to feed. So yeah,
exactly.
I don't know what you do there.
Well, and especially when you're fishing for walleyes, those things are so finicky.
Right.
Even if they're hungry, they don't want to eat sometimes.
Yeah, you're fishing walleyes, and not only are you fishing walleyes that are finicky, but you're fishing them from, you know, 7 in the morning till 3. And that, if you don't have them in your boat by noon, that noon to 3 bike, it's very tough, you know, when it's 90 degrees on the water and you're trying to.
And in a tournament like that, you can't just go peel off and go fish crappies for an hour or two.
No.
You can't go try throwing a couple bass lures and just flip it up just so you can get away from not catching anything.
Try something else.
Yeah. You know, you gotta target what you're going after, and you're in there for the money. So, you just can't move on to something different.
Yeah, we had we stopped down. We had a little shopping spree midweek at Tony's over at Bait Rigs, and of course came down and stocked up on live bait from Scott at River Rock there. But we went to Tony's and got just about anything you could possibly throw at them for jigs and crank baits, and you know, them baits work. Them weedless jigs he has, they're pretty awesome. Do you have them in your shop yet?
I have them coming in. I'm working on some new shelving that so I can have space for them. My biggest problem is a little shop. I don't have the floor space, so I'm increasing my shelf space. So we're putting in some slide-by shelving so I can increase my shelving, and we're going to have about 50% more shelf space by the end of the month, hopefully. Got a buddy building some new shelving for me, so that's going to be pretty cool when we get that all done. And so we'll be able to increase our displays by about 50%, hopefully, by the end of the month.
Nice. So. Yeah, them, if you got them in stock, they'll sell. Them things were extremely nice, casting right up in them weeds and pull them out of there with nothing on it. You know, no weeds on it, no fish either where we were, but that, not saying they don't catch them. It's just not having them weeds are nice not to deal with, you know, and them things held the weeds out very well.
Yeah. So, where are you guys heading in the next tournament?
Next one, we go to Lake Vermilion, about an hour or so north of Duluth. And that's another big, long lake, a lot of structure on it. And that's going to be right mid-dog days of summer. So that's a whole nother, you know, you're fishing them in the spring, you mark them with your GPS. When you get up there in the middle of summer, you might as well throw your GPS in the garbage, because it ain't the spots
start,
you mark.
Start all over, yeah.
It's like anything else. You go out here in the winter, you might as well throw your GPS in the garbage for the summer. It's just, I guess that's why they call it fishing, right? You know, keep you guessing and... But we do that, and then we do one in the championship is in Bemidji, Lake Bemidji. And then from there, if we move on, it's North Dakota. So a couple more. Hopefully three more. So.
That's not so bad at all. The tournaments, how hard is it to go lake to lake like that, especially if you've never been on those lakes?
It's not easy. We've had some help, like I said, with Andy and Kyle coming on to help us a little bit. You get to cover double the ground, you know, but you're giving up a little information to them also as well. But nice guys, they're friends of ours. But you go to every lake, and a lot of it's the same, and a lot of it's different. You know, if you know the basics of walleye fishing, it's the same at every inland lake. Now, we went to the Mississippi, and that was just totally different than anything else. You're fishing with barges going by you and speedboats and jet skiers, and it's kind of organized chaos. The current that's there, if you never fished it or been on it, it's worth just to go down and check it out because it's so different than what we're used to around here. But a lot of the same things, but again, total opposite. You know what's working on one? Leech Lake is like two different lakes combined into one. The big open lake has, you know, shallow flats, mud flats, not much structure. Then you move into Walker Bay. The main lake's probably 20 feet deep for miles. I mean, it's a huge lake. And then you go into Walker Bay, it's up to 200 feet deep. And there's more structure than you could ever fish in a week. So you're trying to essentially, like ice fishing, you're trying to fish a 10-inch hole. And there's miles, you know, hundreds of miles of lake ahead of you. So it was interesting.
Makes it challenging with all the structure in some of those areas.
And that's why you're there. And that's the guys that win them things. You go up against a lot of local guides. It'd be like fishing a lake trout tournament here against Tommy Hicks. Someone that came here from Leech Lake would have a hard time because he knows the area so well. He's been here. He does well. But on the other hand, you know, we go in and do our best, try to get lucky.
A lot of it's luck,
though. It is. I can't remember who said it, but someone told us it was a pro fisherman. He said, these tournaments are 50% skill and 80% luck. So I don't know if his math was right, but that was his, that was his plan. So,
well, and especially when it comes to walleye, sometimes you just can't make them bite no matter what you throw at them.
No, and that's the truth. Them guys come in just like we do. Them pros come in and load their boat up and shake their head and flip their hands, and they're like, I don't know, to get them tomorrow. So,
Yeah.
Well, we got to take a quick break. You guys going to stick around a little bit longer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk fishing.
Sounds good to me. We'll be right back on the Trumbull Bay Fishing Report right after this. Welcome back to the Schwamigan Bay Fishing Report. Currently outside here in the Ashland area, sitting at 64 degrees, 68 in Bayfield, 59 in Duluth Superior, 61 down in Hayward, 67 in Mellon, 64 in Ironwood. Should see sunny skies all day today. High today near 81 tonight. Rain expected through the overnight. Lows tonight near 65. Tomorrow, chance of rain in the morning. Partly sunny skies, high tomorrow near 77. Tomorrow night, chances of some rain, cloudy skies, low near 58. Then on Thursday, sunshine returns, high near 75. Again, for today, partly sunny skies, high near 81. Again, currently 64 in Ashland, 68 in Bayfield, and 67 in Mellon. 23 minutes past 6 o'clock now. Good morning. It's the Schwamigan Bay Fishing Report. We have Scott Breading and Jason Ronning here with us now. Good morning, fellas. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Trevor. So, yeah, we've been talking, you know, hopefully the weather holds off tonight with the big races in town and some guests coming a little distance. We took the guys out fishing yesterday afternoon and didn't catch any fish, but we had a nice boat ride and we were out trolling out in what we call the flats and we put a little presentation out for the fish and threw a lot of spoons out. And you know, it's been a long time since I've been out there and not caught a fish. One thing that's kind of disappointing is there's some new nets out there. And our DNR gave that up in a negotiations for the netting agreement to the commercial fishing. Used to be a sport fishing area only for several years. And the reason it was sport fishing only is to keep it net free so you could get out there and troll and not have to worry about the nets when you were trolling. And last week when I was out there, I watched a sport fisherman, not aware that there was a net out there, drive his boat right into the net. And he lost all his gear, lost his downrigger, cables and balls and all his baits, tackle. Pretty expensive day. And I'll tell you, the other thing that was kind of a little bit disappointing was yesterday afternoon to not catch a fish out there. In my opinion, I think it's direct relationship to those nets being out there. You know, to not have a trip and not have a fish on a trip out there is very unusual. It's kind of disheartening. It just, you know, there's a lot of fish out there. I know it's tough in the afternoon to go out there and fish. There was a couple other boats out there, but they had left soon after we had gotten out there late in the afternoon. But to not catch a fish is a little disheartening, and I think it's directly a direct relationship to those nets being out there. And, you know, being part of the sport fishing club and sport fishing group and also, you know, being a sport fisherman, a little disheartening to see nets out there. Mainly it's a lake trout area. There's a lot of water on Lake Superior. There's a lot of areas where the lake trout are, a lot of areas where you can be netting commercially, but to have those in that area now and introduce that into an area that's been sport fishing only for years is a little disheartening.
Where are these nets, and how long do the nets normally stay out on in the water?
Well, you know, the nets are in an area that was well known for a good sport fishing area, which was around an area that was, it's called the Flats, and it was south of Michigan Island, north of Big Bay, south of Big Bay Point. It's an area that's in the South Channel, and the area there's an area out there that's a fish refuge where it's a good habitat for the lake trout to reproduce in the fall. So it's a no fishing area that has also been allowed to be commercially fished by some groups, but not all commercial fishing groups. But that's just recent too. Now doesn't make sense why they're allowing that either. And you know, when 2 years ago you had a year where the DNR shut the season down early because they were concerned about the lake trout being depleted or being a shortfall of lake trout from being over harvested by sport fishing. It doesn't make sense. It just I'm confused by what the DNR is trying to do.
How many lake trout do sportsmen fishermen realistically take out of the lake?
Well, I you know, in what they call WI2, which is the Apostle Islands, I believe it's 7,000 fish they're allotted to take of lake trout. I'd need to really look at what those actual figures are in that area. But I believe that's the number. I don't quote me on that 100%. But it's a 50% quota of what is half of what the non-tribal side gets. And then half of what the sport fishermen and the state commercial fishing get. So it's split by 50% of what the state commercial guys get and the sport fishermen get.
And so you were saying a couple of years ago they were talking about shutting the season down for lake trout.
They did shut it down.
They did shut it down. And how long ago was that? 2 years?
2 years ago.
And so the lake trout, according now to the DNR, has rebounded well enough that they're allowing commercial fishing in places that they've never allowed before?
It just doesn't make sense. You know, 2 years ago they shut it down early, and now they're letting them harvest in areas where there was sport fishing only and right next to a fish refuge. How did it rebound that quick? Doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, Jason was telling us a couple weeks ago when he was here about fishing down in Mille Lacs, the walleye population down there, and they're still fighting that battle.
Yeah.
And that's a small inland lake, a little bit easier, easier to manage.
Yeah.
And that lake has come back phenomenal. I mean, the fish that are in that lake right now, and, you know, they don't, there's no bag, you know, you can't take any fish home with you, and it just is, they are catching some monsters. I had a buddy down there last week, caught 66 fish, yeah. 66 walleyes in a day.
But they're still not letting people take them home.
No, but they're home. There's some dandies, you know, and it's just, going to be a sport fishing lake, I think. From, you know, they do the same thing. They have a quota, I believe, till June 1st. They let you take one fish home, which is fine, you know. Yeah. You have 3-4 people in the boat, but.
Yeah, and I think they got some pretty healthy slot limits when you can take that one fish home, so.
Yeah, so,
but I mean, it's still, you still can't take any home. They're still managing it. They're still trying to protect the population.
Yep.
And it's with the Wishwamagan Bay in 2 years. Now it's commercial fishing is allowed, and nets are in places they've never been before.
Yeah.
It's just that, to me, that's where I have a hard time wrapping my head around that.
But you know, what the disheartening part is I took a group of guys out that hadn't been out here before, and you know, I wasn't concerned about taking them out midday fishing. I usually go out and catch fish, and take them out and not get any and get a stripe of zero. It's almost embarrassing.
Don't tell them, but we're blaming it on them when they come in the studio later.
Yeah.
Don't tell them that. But I said, you guys can drive fast race cars, but you can't fish too well.
Yeah. We had fun. We still had a good day.
It was good for them guys to get out and see the islands and experience that. I think they all had a pretty good time. That was fun.
Yeah. And it's just a good day to be on the water, though. It's a beautiful area that we have. We got a great resource out here. I just hope we don't mess it up. And I just would like to see more people be involved out here, understand what's going on. It's a resource for us all to share. And 3 miles of gill nets going along a sport fishing area right up to the edge of a fish refuge just doesn't make sense to me.
How can you tell if those nets are out there? You said that you saw a guy run right into it. If you are out there boating, if you are out there fishing, how can you tell where those nets are?
Well, you know, and that's the problem, too, that, you know, there's buoys and there's flags, but they're not easy to see. You know, some of these nets are, you know, a half mile long or a couple thousand feet long, and you can see one end, but you can't see the other, or if it's at all kind of choppy fog. They're just difficult. They blend in. They're just not, you know, that easy to see. And it's hard enough to see another boat, let alone to see a flag that's only 14 inches deep or a foot deep sticking out the water 3-4 feet at best. And not much more than that would be on a bicycle flag or on a car antenna. It's a little frustrating.
Well, last Tuesday, you said it. You went out there, and the fog was as thick as pea soup.
Yeah.
Driving around, you can see people on the radar, but you can't see them in person.
I can't imagine people going out there without radar in that fog and not having the right equipment for it. So, you know, safety is always a concern of mine. And to come back at night, there's a lot of people that are out there on the water at night fishing walleye at night, for instance. It's a great time to be fishing walleye. And some of the best bite is at night on the bay. And they're out there fishing. Tip of Long Island has a few nets out there. And there's no lights on those nets. And so if you hit one of those nets with a boat, hit the buoy rather, and get entangled in the guide buoys with your prop, it could be a little bit of a challenge to get untangled, especially if you're near a smaller boat and there's any kind of wave action out there. So just hope somebody doesn't get hurt someday. It has happened. It's happened in other areas. It hasn't happened out here that I'm aware of, but it has happened.
And if they're in spots that aren't traditional, if you have people coming up to the back of the area, they've always come up here for the summer, they come out for a couple weeks, they go fishing, and if they're in non-traditional areas, it could happen, and it's very possible, especially if somebody doesn't know the lake real well, and if they're just out driving and they don't know what those flags mean, anything like that.
Oh, exactly. But, like the guy I watched last week, it went into the net out in the South Channel, out by the flats. He's a local guy, a big boat, and 4 downriggers in the back. He knows better. He just wasn't paying attention or didn't see it, and by the time he hit the net, it was too late. He had all his gear in it, and it was dead calm out when he did it. And there's no reason he shouldn't have seen it. I should say there's no reason, just he didn't see it. Yeah, a lot of gear in that net. And you're not going to pull that net up with or get your gear out of that net out of a standard boat. You need a big winch. It would be on a commercial fishing boat. So he's had to cut all his gear off and leave it there.
Tough afternoon, no doubt. That's a tough afternoon. Ugly day.
Ugly day. So, yeah. And, you know, that's now the DNR requires that you have a wire cutter on your boat. It's against the law to be out on the water trolling with downriggers without having a wire cutter on your boat. So if you're out there and the DNR checks you on your boat, you have to have a wire cutter.
When did that get put through?
A couple of years ago.
It's newer.
It's a newer regulation. And that's, I believe, because of somebody that had hit a net and had a major incident where somebody drowned from getting caught in a net, commercial net, with a downrigger. And that's why they put that regulation in. Somebody had fought, their family had fought for having that regulation in there, so it didn't happen to some other family member. So, yeah, it's a law now that you have to have a wire cutter on a boat.
6:38 now, 22 minutes away from 7 o'clock. We're about 10 minutes away from wrapping up the Shawmigan Bay Fishing Report. We'll be back with more Shawmigan Bay Fishing Report right after this. Welcome back to the Shawmigan Bay Fishing Report, 6:40 now, 20 minutes away from 7 o'clock, 67 degrees outside, winds out of the south at 6 miles an hour, mostly clear skies to start our day for today. Should see sunshine through the day, high today near 81. Tonight, chance of some storms through the overnight, lows tonight near 65. Tomorrow, chance of some rain in the morning, partly sunny skies, then in the afternoon, high tomorrow near 77. 6:40, good morning, Jason. Good morning, Scott. How are you guys doing this morning?
Hey, Trevor, we're doing great. We're doing great, and you know, what a, you know, fantastic day. And, you know, one thing that we, you know, haven't talked a lot about lately is our Shawmigan Bay fishing map. And, you know, with all the new visitors to the area, you get a lot of people that are coming into the shop. And, Jason has a newer business in Ashland, a nice new flower shop in downtown Ashland. Do you get many people come in and talk, what's going on in the area and where are things on the water and what to do downtown?
Yeah, well, you know, typically it's a flower shop, flower and gifts, you know, downtown. So if I'm there and someone comes in with their wife or girlfriend shopping, they need something to talk about. It ain't a whole lot for them to talk about there. But
have you seen the map?
Yeah, I have. It's nice.
You should the Chamber's got these, and both bait shops got the map. And I tell you, if when people stop in at the bait shop, and they're always asking, where's their beach in town? And I got a kid that just wants to down along the shoreline. Where can we go? What a great map to tell them how to get there, what it looks like. There's pictures of all of the local areas for boat launches, and also where are the local spots, kind of the hot spots of
where you can fish.
Where you can fish, but all the public approaches. So you're not kinda guessing, can I go down there to fish, or is that a public spot? For instance, east of the power plant, or down by the hot pond west of the power plant, old what we call Johnson's Beach or the Pig Iron. Or Short Bridge. How do you get there when people are talking about it? So the map is kind of a great how-to approach. And then for even the novice, there's popular fishing knots on there.
Go ahead.
Fish identification.
I think that's the part on there that, because I'm not a Great Lakes fisherman, all those salmon, all those trout, it's when they get out to the lake, they look a lot different than when you catch them in the stream. So I think that's the part on that map that It gives you those spots if you're fishing from shore, if you want to take the boat. But then if you aren't quite sure what those Great Lakes fish look like, they're helping you out with that. I think that's a really nice feature of that map.
Yeah. That would have been very handy to have even last weekend at Leech, because that lake's so big and everyone's leaving from a different landing. Well, you pull in and you don't know how big a boat you can get in the landing. You don't know where you can go. You're searching around, and a lot of it's early morning and late night. We could have really used that this weekend, knowing where to even go for food or gas at that time. Yeah. Up in some of them areas, they're pretty remote. And I know, like, Andy and Kyle were camping, and they came off the lake and had nowhere to get a bite to eat.
Yeah.
You know, so they're driving over by us at 10 o'clock at night trying to find it. But for a map like that, it just helps everyone around. The Chamber girls do an excellent job, you know, putting them out. And hopefully they bring some down and we can get them out in the store, too.
Yeah, and, you know, and if you're, you know, listening out there and want one sent to you, you can call the Chamber and they'll even put one in the mail to you. If you're listening, you're a little ways away, you can email the Chamber or call them on their 800 number and they'll send you one of these maps in the mail. And it will give you a little what's going on the bay for fishing. And they may even send you one of our Ashton County visitor guides, tell you what's going on in the area. Which is a lot of things going on in the Ashton area. This weekend there's a golf tournament. It's all booked up, but every year the Ashton Shortstop, which is at the Shawamigan Bay Golf Course, is always full year to year. But it's a great golf tournament. A lot of history there. I think it's 75 years.
75 is what I saw for that tournament.
Yeah, wow, 75 years. And I know my brothers all golf that. And then next weekend, week and a half, or 2 weeks away, is the Bay Days coming up.
Next weekend, Bay Days. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, and you guys,
event.
You guys got Battle of Bands.
That's on Friday. I'll be there hosting that
with
Rick St. Nick over at Z93. So we'll be down there Friday night doing that. They got the karaoke contest Saturday for that. So that's a big weekend. I didn't quite realize how big it was till last year. It was my first Bay Days.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on down there.
Few weekends off, but also the kids fishing party. Kids, that's you know, something to maybe mark your calendars for.
Yeah,
they're always looking for boats, excuse to get out on the water, take a few kids fishing.
Yeah.
They're always, the more boats the merrier. I think North Wisconsin Rod and Gun Club.
Yep.
I'm not sure who the contact even is anymore, but you get a
hold
of someone. That's
Annette Brown. She's
okay. Annette. Yeah.
Annette's the big contact there.
But mark your calendars third week in August or first week in August. I just made banners for it and I can't remember. But.
what is this? What is this event?
It's Bud Williams annual kids fishing party. It's through the North Wisconsin Rod and Gun Club. Essentially, just a morning, take kids out, have a little contest. You know, adults bring their boats down, load them with any kid. You know, they don't have to have a boat, just come down and they'll get them out on the lake and take them out fishing, and then they have a bunch of prizes. And
so it's like a kids' fishing derby, but it's aimed to get the kids on the water.
Yep.
To get them out.
A lot of prizes, bikes, fishing poles, life jackets, etc. Sure. It's a good time. Kids really get amped up for it. And especially, you know, some kids never get a chance to go out on the lake
it's
if
hard
they
to
don't get, have a boat or, you know, get them interested anyway. So
just to get on the water, get a kid on the water, and he'll be hooked for a long time.
Yeah, forever. So I think racing tonight. That's what's going on tonight. The fish ain't biting tonight, so put the boats away, head out to the racetrack. If you've never seen this, which none of us have ever seen a race this big here, just go take a ride. Even if you're not interested in the races, go take a ride out there tonight and just check it out.
Well, talking to Nick Gima track, he was saying this is probably the biggest racing event outside of the Red Clay Classic that they've ever put on.
The cars are bigger than anything. Well, you know, the late models are similar to the ones that are at the Red Clay, and the Red Clay is just a legendary tradition, but these guys are, you know, this is the biggest of
for
the
a mid-season
biggest.
For a mid-season night at the racetrack. This is as big as they've ever done.
There's
prize money being given out tonight, so it should be a great night at the racetrack.
These guys are racing for $10,000 to win tonight, which is both their normal win, but they're also racing for $100,000 to win point fund. Just a really nice bunch of guys we took out. They ain't much for fishermen, but that was more our fault than theirs. So
yeah,
they had fun though.
How many people did you take out yesterday afternoon?
We had six guys plus the two of us, and one guy was a pretty big bass fisherman. He was into that in the off season when he wasn't racing, and the rest I think were just kind of. Just went for a cruise and
happy
were happy to be
on the
out
water.
There. And yeah. We showed them a couple things, and you know, it's just like going somewhere where they live. It's always different, you know, nice to see something different. And
well, and I'm sure for a lot of those guys coming up, I'm sure this is the first time they've ever been to to Ashland, Wisconsin,
or seen the Great Lake, mm-hmm. or yeah, they don't.
First time on Madeline Island for every one of them.
they never seen nothing like Tom's Burnt Down, so.
Yeah.
That was fun, though.
Yeah, they had fun there.
Even the ferry, you know, the ferry's new to some of them, or, you know, they see stuff like that. And
you don't realize how big the water is, and you don't realize how big those boats are. I just know I took that ferry, me and my fiance, we took the dog out last year out to Madeline Island, and we're on that ferry, and you don't realize how big this ferry is. It's bigger than my apartment. It's bigger than my house I grew up in, and it's on the water. So
no, but honestly, and that's same for people from, you know, some people from Ashland. That's why I said take a ride out there tonight and check that out, because you'll get out there and you'll be like, wow, look at this. Like, the operations they run are just
It's going to be a spectacle
phenomenal.
Tonight
yeah,
on the ABC
is.
Raceway.
Yeah, the races are going to be phenomenal. And fast cars, great races, just a lot of fun. And they run a heck of an operation. And it, you know, if you want to go out there and they got food to eat out there. It's just a great thing to do on a nice evening, and good thing to do with the family.
The track is rolled out the red carpet for everyone, fans, drivers. You know, Eric and everyone from.
Eric and Nick run a great show out there.
The Bowers, Hudak family, everyone out there just does a fantastic job. Weaver.
Bunch of great volunteers. I mean, they just...
No one gets a paycheck. And even them racers yesterday were amazed at that.
Yep.
They couldn't believe that the track was that nice and that it was a volunteer track. So, you know, hats off to them volunteers.
I mean, we got volunteers out there that just, those people spend endless hours at it and a thankless job, but boy, cleaning up after and just clean that the place is just phenomenal and great people and a lot of fun.
So take one night off the water tonight,
go
to the racetrack tonight, and then tomorrow go back on the water. And if they need some help, Scott, what's the best way for them to find River Rocket and Bait Shop?
Hey, come on down 1200 West Lakeshore Drive, or give us a call at 715-682-3232, or look us up on the web, riverrockin.net.
And Jason, how can they find you?
Well, they ain't find much fishing equipment at my place, but Superior Floral and Gift on 410 West Main Street. We're right between the bike shop and the shoe shack there. If you need to get the wife or someone some flowers and maybe butter them up a little, get out fishing. Or, you know, find me on Facebook. Like I said, Jason Rowning on Facebook. If you have any questions about walleye fishing or the AIM Tour, and also you can look up the AIM Pro Walleye Series on Facebook as well, and answer any questions for you there.
Perfect. Thanks so much for coming in, guys. We'll see you next Tuesday for the Schwamigan Bay Fishing Report.
Thanks, Trevor.